إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salatu.
InshaAllah, I'll go through the question answers quickly, inshaAllah. And I answer the questions briefly according to the minimum limited knowledge that we have. And if we don't know, we'll say Allahu A'lam. Please explain briefly the punishment of sex, drugs and hellfire. What happens to them? How can you avoid it? Now, I guess my talk tonight was more brief on how could we avoid this. It's by fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Him. And remember some of those advices that those great imams gave, like the advice that we mentioned of remembering four things. The punishment of sex, of course, zina is one of the major sins in Islam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes it as the major of major sins, the destroyer, as the muhlikat. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah azza wa jal took him on a journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem to the heavens, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw people punished in a certain way that he asked Jibreel, who are those people? So Jibreel alayhi salam says, there are those who used to perform or commit illegal sex. There are those who used to commit the zina and commit the haram. So now there is a severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hellfire for those who commit sex. And also drugs. Drugs now, there drugs is haram. And drugs is considered to be on the level of drinking wine. There was no drugs at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but by the qiyas of the scholars, they look at drugs the way they look at alcohol. So also taking drugs is a major sin, and there is a severe punishment in the hellfire. What influence would you turn to your deen? Okay. The best thing is, my brothers and sisters, for you to turn to the deen. Always, ikhwani, contemplating and thinking has a lot of influence in the heart. We need that moment sometimes where we sit and think and reflect back into our life. We get so busy into the dunya, and some of us get so busy into the haram and get occupied in the evil doings that we forget sometimes to sit down and realize, hold on a sec, what the hell am I doing? Some people just need that 1 minute to stop and think and say, what am I doing? Maybe that minute will make a change in their life. And that's why thinking is ibadah itself. Contemplating and thinking is a worship. When you think about your hereafter and think what's best for you, is a great worship. So stop for 1 minute and think and reflect and think and think about the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can I be forgiven of these following situations? Break a girl's virginity and mine together and other. Okay. No doubt, this human being is created in a way that he falls into sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish those who commit the sins. And Allah azza wa jalla will record their sins on them. But at the same time, Allah had opened a gate by the name of repentance. This gate is open for those who commit the sins to turn to Allah azza wa jalla and return for Allah to forgive them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive anyone for anything they did. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say to my servants, those who went overboard, went over the limit, those disobedient servants of mine, say to them, do not break your hopes from the mercy of Allah. Don't have despair from the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all the sins. No matter what you do, something like this or even worse than that, if you disobey Allah Azza wa Jal in any sin and you turn to Allah, Allah will never reject a servant that turned to Him. But repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, oh my servant, يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكَ إِذَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ مِمَّا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. Oh, the son of Adam, if you come back to me, asking me, having hopes in me, I will forgive you. وَلَا أُبَالِي. Maybe the closest translation to that is, I don't care. It's like nothing. This is nothing to me. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, oh, the son of Adam, if you come back to me with this whole world full of sins, I'll come back to you with this whole world full of mercy. But go back to Allah azza wa jalla. So my brother, my sister, and I know a lot of people have the same question. I committed a lot of sins. Would Allah forgive? Yes, Allah will forgive as long as you repent to Him. And repentance means that you feel sorry and remorse and you regret the crime that you had committed and you promise Allah azza wa jalla that you never go back to it. In all situations, me and him. No. What advice would you give to a brother or sister who find it difficult to give up and the old bad habits, listening to music, backbiting, and bad language? I'll give my advice to the brother and sister. Of course, sometimes it's difficult for some people to leave the habits, and some people find it very hard. But I do say the best influence of leaving bad habits, first of all, no doubt, to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and to have the right company, have the right friendship, be around the right people, have people around you that will always remind you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember one thing, my brothers and sisters, empty time, if it's not used for Allah, it's used for the shaitan. There's nothing in between. You either use that empty hour for Allah, or what benefits you in the hereafter is going to be used for the shaitan. And that's why shaitan attacks those people alone. And that's why you realize, my brother and sister who's having this bad problem, these bad thoughts only come to when you're alone. So have a good company around you. And if there's no one around, straight away occupy your time by reading the Qur'an al-Kareem. Occupy your time by doing something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then leave that 1 minute gap in which you sit down and think about it. Now of course there's a lot more than this, but inshaAllah, I'll make it quick. Is that okay if you have a girlfriend and know that you're going to marry in the future? Wallah brother, I'll say one simple thing. Would you accept it for your sister? Let us get one brother now, go out with your sister, because they're going to get married. Let him go out for 1 year or 2 years. Of course not, I'll kill him. Then one of these sisters also got brothers and sisters too, brother. Okay, what you accept for your sister, accept it for others. I'm not going to go about halal, haram, because we know it's haram. But just morally, would you accept it for your sister? A lot of people come to me with that question in Australia. Wallah Shaykh, you know, I'm going out, I'm speaking to this girl on the phone, I'll see her every here and then. I've got a good heart and I want to get married to her. MashaAllah on this good heart, very clean heart. You know, and I want to get married to her. I tell him, brother, would you accept that to your sister? No way, I'll kill him. SubhanAllah, why do you allow that for your... This sister, and sometimes a lot of times she's a Muslim. See, this sister's got a brother and a sister too, and this brother might come and kill you. And if he does, good on him. Yani, of course, Salah, don't take my words out of context. Just make it. Allah, they say the Shaykh is inciting killing. Or, okay. Okay, my weakness. Okay. This is from the sister's time. Okay. Is there any justification for a girl and any guy to be friends, free mixing? Okay, I think we just answered that. Okay, of course, no doubt. It's haram. Okay, free mixing, having a communication with a female, or female having communication with a male, it's haram, only for the necessity. When we say necessity, that sometimes a woman goes out shopping, she needs to buy, if he's a male, she's not allowed to buy from, no, that's a necessity, she buys. Okay, as the necessity to get your daily life moving. But wallahi, to call a girl, or to sit down a girl and have a laughter, and have wallah, speak about foolish things, that's haram in Islam. Once again, I say, brother and sister, what you allow for your sister, allow for others. Okay, and I think that's a simple common sense. Because a man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a young man, and he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a pure, natural, humble way, and he tells him, O Messenger of Allah, could you make zina halal for me? Could you make adultery or illegal sex or fornication halal for me? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look at the hikmah of the Prophet ﷺ. Yani this is the great strategy of da'wah, how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with people like that. So he asked him, he told him, do you accept that for your sister? He said, no. He said, do you accept that for your mother? He said, no. And he said, do you accept that for your daughter? He said, no. Do you accept that for your niece? He said, no. Do you accept that for your aunt? He said, no. And he went on to the whole family. And then he went out. Then the Prophet ﷺ told him, do you accept that for other people's sisters, mothers, aunties, nieces? And then he said, no. This young man walked away, he said, by Allah, there was nothing more hatred in my heart than committing zina. This is the hikmah of the Prophet ﷺ. Being a student in university, there are many temptations. One of the major ones are girls. How can I distract myself from such temptations? So, see, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and I guess I've read, girls say, boys, I've got a problem with boys. Boys say, I've got a problem with girls and so forth. Okay, of course, this is a nature that Allah Azza wa Jalla had created in a human being. But this nature must be restricted to what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course this is your test. Someone will say, then why did Allah create us like that? To test you, to see, do you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or you disobey Him? See, what's so beautiful about Islam that anything that leads to haram, it's also haram. Anything that leads to haram, it's also haram. And one of the things that Islam forbids is for you to look at a woman for no reason, for you to mix with a woman for no reason, and vice versa, for a woman to mix with a man for no reason, or to look at a man for no reason, to touch or shake hands with a woman, or for a woman to shake hands with a strange man, or a man shaking hands with a strange woman. This is haram in Islam. Why? Someone might ask, and this is the common question that a lot of people ask, but I've got a good heart when I look at this woman. A lot of people say that. This is not, I'll shake hands and I've got a good heart. But brother, you might have a good heart, but there's another 100 like you who don't have a good heart. There's another 1,000 like you who doesn't have a good heart. And because of that, Islam doesn't say, okay, if you've got a good heart, it's halal for you, and if you've got a bad heart, it's haram for you. It doesn't work that way. It's all and everyone. And this, why is this haram for someone? Say, but it doesn't make sense to me. Why is looking at a woman haram? Because this look will drag you into the haram. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ described that look as an arrow of the shaitan. He'll drag you, he'll take you to the haram. And that's why Islam tells you, don't even go one step near it. Keep away from it. And subhanAllah, look at the beautiful verse in the Quran al-Kareem in which Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Allah did not say, do not commit zina. Zina, by the way, means fornication or adultery. Yani both meanings. Which means illegal sex. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say in the Quran al-Kareem, and do not perform or commit zina, do not fall into zina. Allah said, don't go near zina, which means, don't go near anything that will take you to zina. Anything that will take you to zina, don't go near. Even the places of zina, don't go near it. Why? Because these little things is what drags you to the major things. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us. And that's why, When this Muslim brother or this Muslim sister, when this man or this woman get themselves to the habit of not looking, then their sexual drive of falling into the haram is much less. But when people get themselves into looking, touching, thinking, this is what drags them into falling into the haram. And once again I said, my brothers and sisters, this is your test. It's your test in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not to punish you. It's not to punish you as my people might think, and why am I getting punished in this dunya? But this is your test, and Allah is preparing something for you better in the hereafter. Now, is it permissible to marry someone against the permission of the parents if the objection is only based on the fact that the prospective partner is out of the family? In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the woman to choose who she gets married to. How does that work? Allah azza wa jal, or Islam, gave an authority to her wali, which her guardian, her father, mainly if the father's not there, the grandfather, to get her married to those that the father will think is best for her. Now in some cases this girl, she might refuse, especially if it's a virgin girl, which we call bikr in the Sharia perspective, she might refuse the marriage of this person. Okay? Or she'll be interested, or she might think another person is better for her. What does she do in that case? In that case, the only resort for her, of course, after asking Allah Azza wa Jal, is the Muslim judge, Al-Qadi. What's a Qadi? A Qadi, usually if there is an Islamic state, the Khalifa will assign a judge for every state or for every city. This judge has authority over everyone, even the father. In that case, if a woman or if a young woman sees that her father is putting pressure on her to get married to someone that she knows herself she's not going to last with, she goes to the imam. To the local imam or to the local sheikh, especially, and I'll give this advice for those who live in the West, if this imam is close to the father, look for an imam that has a bit of influence on the father. You go to him and you speak to him and say that, wallah, I'm facing this, and I think this marriage is not going to be successful for me, and I want your help. An imam has the rights by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Islamic rule, he has the full right to interfere, and he has the right to stop this marriage if it's going to take place. So this is my best advice, and this is the best you could do, is go to the local imam, speak to him, and the imam must understand by the Islamic ruling and Sharia, if this marriage he thinks is also not going to work out, then the imam has the right to stop. Okay. SubhanAllah, we have this problem in Australia, but I've realized here it's a lot, maybe because based on more culture and that. Is it possible to be happy, content, even if you are tested? Because some people obey God, but they are tested quite a lot. Of course, see, my brothers and sisters, The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hardest tested people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the prophets and the messengers. And then the ones after them, ثُمَّ الَّذِينِ يَلُونَ, then the ones after them. So the closer you are to Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you are open to test. And of course this test comes from Allah Azza wa Jal for what reason? It comes to strengthen you, to make you a stronger person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. See, the beautiful thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah always loves His servants to get closer to Him. But Allah doesn't want you to take this second level when you're not fit for it. So Allah Azza wa Jal will train you to get to that second level. That when you get to that second level, you are firm and strong to be on that second level. And the way that Allah Azza wa Jal trains you through His tests. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you in various ways. And where does Allah test you most? With your weakness. Where's your weakness? That's what Allah tests you with. Why? To strengthen that weakness. To strengthen that weakness. Now, if I'm drinking or in a club and my life is taken away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do I die as a Muslim or non-Muslim? Please explain. Now drinking is a major sin. But does it take you out of Islam? If you believe drinking is haram and you drink, then you're not out of Islam, you're a disobedient. This is called fisq or fujur or isyan. This is disobedience. Okay, someone who drinks or commits haram and then they die on it, they die as Muslims, but they die as disobedient Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter has the right to punish you for it. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive and all that goes back to Allah azza wa jal. But you don't die as a non-Muslim. You don't die as a non-Muslim. I get doubts from the shaitan and this leads to me wrong. How can I overpower shaitan whispers and become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course shaitan attacks and it attacks people from different angles. And shaitan, by the way, he's not dumb, he's very smart. He knows how to get and attract people. And he comes to everyone from a different angle and he comes to everyone from different ways. And he's been around for a very long time, so he knows the weakness of this human being. And there's one thing that this shaitan wants to prove, that he's better than the human being. This is his objective. He wants to prove that he's better than this human being. So he'll try and prove this in any way to take this human being down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that shaitan is your enemy. Take him as an enemy. Since you know he's shaitan, then listen to him. Since you know he's shaitan, then listen to him. Like subhanallah, a lot of those we used to give da'wah to, we used to tell them, brother, what you doing? Is it from Allah or the shaitan? Shaitan. Okay, does shaitan want good or bad for you? He wants bad. Does he want happiness for you or sadness? He wants sadness for me. Does he want you to become a better person or a lower person? He wants me to lower person. Subhanallah, all this that you know about the shaitan, you still listen to him? All this that you know about the shaitan and you still follow him? All this that you know about the shaitan, he's your enemy, he hates you, he wants corruption for you, he wants to destroy you, he wants this to you, he wants that, because, and you still accompany him and you take him as your best lover. Shaitan is your enemy, take him as an enemy, then listen to him. Since you know it's from the shaitan, then listen to him. And the best thing is, my brothers and sisters, shaitan attacks you when you're alone. But when you're a part of the company, that's when shaitan becomes so weak to attack you. That's why when you find yourself restless towards the ibadah and shaitan is attacking you, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the moment you need to fight it. And the more you do it, is the more you're stepping on the shaitan's head. And the more you are turning the shaitan away from you. So be strong, be firm. This is, you need to strengthen yourself. You need to push yourself. You need to break that laziness. And remember, there's one important thing, my brothers and sisters, that we have to realize. Laziness is a major disease. And it's something from the shaitan. The Prophet ﷺ himself used to say, Ya Allah, I ask you to protect me from laziness. And us, we live in a society that we become so lazy. Extremely lazy. And laziness is something that shaitan, he loves lazy people. That's his target. Shaitan loves lazy people because lazy people are the shaitan's target. So break that laziness. Break that and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the best way to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and to bring sincerity in my life? I think we've spoken about that. I have heard many issues on women and makeup. Could you please clarify a few points of this? So makeup is halal for the woman, only for her husband. Okay? It's halal for the woman, only for her husband, or in a group of women. Outside that, it's haram. It's a major sin for the woman to put makeup, all types of makeup. All types of makeup. Okay, so it's halal for the woman for her husband, And it's halal for her to be around women that she trusts, and highlight the word trust. Okay, and a righteous woman that she'll be around, not those women that look at her and then get outside and say, Wallahi, she was beautiful and she had this and she had that. You know what I mean? It's haram for her to get outside wearing makeup. Excuse is not acceptable. Okay, there's so many questions here. It's just how much time do we have? Okay, what is the ruling regarding someone who speaks to and fruits with all girls and women, girls and men? Is there such a thing as love between boys and girls? Okay, what are the punishments of zina? Okay, what would be the best way to go on the right path and become a better Muslim? I think all the questions are referring to the same thing. Okay, do you think it's right for me to read that this? Leave it. I think it's very important, but don't worry about it. Okay, how do you perform a sincere repentance? Okay, I think I'll just elaborate on that quickly. Of course, the repentance, tawbah. Tawbah means al-inaba ila Allah or ruju' ila Allah. Tawbah means turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After disobeying Allah, neglecting His orders. A true and a sincere tawbah has three main conditions, as the scholars say. Awwal shay, the first thing, al-iqla' anid-dhanb, is to keep away from the haram. I'm drinking alcohol and I want to repent to Allah from drinking alcohol. So the first thing is, of course, I have to leave drinking alcohol. Second thing is, al-nadam wal-hasra al-dhanb. Okay, feeling sorry, guilty, remorse. You disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. You have to feel sorry, guilty. It's not like, wallah, I made tawbah and I left it and I'm happy about what I did. You have to feel sorry. That guilt must be in you about disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And the last thing is that you promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you never go back to it. You promise Allah Azza wa Jal that you never go back to it. And there's one more condition, if this relates to someone else, that you stole someone's money or you took a right of someone, is to give that right back to them. Is to give that rights back to them. Please, brothers and sisters, excuse me if I didn't read your questions. I'm just trying to see the best ones that suit everyone. I've talked about sex, drugs, and alcohol. Can you please talk about music as well? This topic, music, has been a topic among the scholars from the past and this day. And now a lot of people ask that question because they're confused. They hear some scholars that allow it, they hear other scholars that don't. Allahu A'lam, from my opinion, okay? Of course, this is not my personal opinion, and I don't give any personal opinion. But from the majority of the scholars, and no disrespect to any of the respective scholars, they say all types of musical instruments are haram. All types of music instruments, except al-daf. Al-daf is that round drum that was used at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some scholars also restrict the uses of that daf. Allahu alam, I go with the opinion that it's permissible at all times, as long as, now we come to the words. You have the musical instruments, and then you have the singing. Okay, Imam al-Shafi'i says a beautiful note on that. He says, Hasanuhu Hasan. وَسَيِّئُهُ سَيِّئُ. With the words that come out of the mouth of the singer, the good words are good and the bad words are bad. So here it goes back to what this person is singing. Okay, so we're speaking about the musical instrument, put that on the side. Now we're speaking about the singer. If the words are good, then they're acceptable for you to listen. And if they are bad, speaking about bad or foolish or stupid things, then becomes bad. Now, and I know, subhanAllah, music, a lot of people attached to it, especially growing up, listening to music. It's like the mind sometimes doesn't function unless you listen to music. Some people reach to that stage. They're so used to listening to music that the whole life is based on listening to music. Some, I know some students can't even study unless they listen to music. Can't train unless they listen to music. Can't go to the toilet unless they listen to music. SubhanAllah, people have this stuck in their mind. I say, Ikhwani, this is a habit that we adapted ourselves. Allah didn't create us this way. Believe me, once you get that bad habit out of your system, you don't even want to go near it. When you exchange and fill your mind with Allah's love, and you fill your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, and you fill your life with listening to the Quran al-Kareem, you fill your life with listening to the beautiful lessons and listening to the lectures and listening to Islam and hearing Islam and seeing Islam, wallahi, that's the last thing you want to go to. That's the last thing that you want. And subhanAllah, someone will say, okay, what makes me convinced that music is haram? I'll just say one thing. Listening to music, do you see that increasing your faith or decreasing from your faith? I'll tell you something, there is no doubt that when you listen to music, your faith drops. And I'll give you that for example. Many of you now, alhamdulillah, feel good, they heard a lecture, they're thinking about the akhirah. I guarantee you, go outside and listen to 1 minute music, you'll forget everything you heard tonight. I guarantee you that you forget everything that you heard tonight. From 1 minute of, not even 1 minute, half a minute of listening to any music, whether English music or Pakistani music. Don't think Pakistani music is Islamic because he sings in Urdu, or Arabic music is Islamic because it sings in Arabic. Okay? I guarantee you, this devotion that you have now, the good feeling that you have, wallah, we just heard a lecture, we heard about remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, how important it is to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us are thinking, I guarantee you, that once you walk out of here, and inshallah you're done, but if you do listen to 1 minute of music, everything you've heard now is forgotten. So music is not beneficial for you. Inshallah, I think there's a lot more, but sir, I do ask the forgiveness from the brothers and sisters, especially those who wrote a question and we didn't answer it due just to the time. And a lot of the questions just repetitive anyway. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you all once again, my brothers and sisters. I thank you all for having me. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. And may Allah azza wa jal give you steadfastness. And one beautiful thing, remember, ikhwani, ask Allah azza wa jal. Always supplicate to Allah and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, make me a strong mu'min. Ya Allah, make me a strong believer. Ya Allah, ask you to strengthen me. Ya Allah, ask you to strengthen my faith. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And Allah Azza wa Jal ordered you to ask Him and supplicate to Him, and He promised you that He'll respond back to you. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you steadfastness, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us all and to give us steadfastness. جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.